This is Yarena from Gwended, and you're listening to the Metal Pit Podcast.
Welcome to the Metal Pit Podcast, the ultimate dive into the albums, bands, and stories that made metal what it is today. I'm your host, Blake, and together we'll explore the sounds, the legends, and the anthems that keep the metal flame burning. Don't forget to visit our website, themetalpit.org, and follow us on Facebook and Instagram at The Metal Pit. And for podcast-related stuff, visit our podcast website, which is themetalpitpodcast.com, and we are on Facebook and Instagram also at The Metal Pit Podcast. And you can find our Metal Pit website stuff on YouTube at The Metal Pit 666. And if you want to maybe be a guest on an episode or suggest an album or whatever, email me at podcast@themetalpit.org. Okay, my guest today is Elvin from Alberta, Canada. By the way, I'm in Ontario, Canada, even though I assume people know that, unless you're new. But Elvin's an avid golfer out there out west. He was on another podcast we did of the group. You can tell me the group because it's off the top of my head.
We did Cemetery?
Yes, right.
Godless Beauty? No, yes. Black Vanity, it was. Sorry, the album Black Vanity.
Oh, right.
One of my favorite bands from back in the day.
And how are you doing today, Alvin?
I'm doing good, pal. Getting over a little bit of a bout of something that I had for a couple of weeks and still kind of floating around, but doing okay now.
That's good. And we're here to talk some classic metal again. And we're doing more mainstream, I guess, if you want to call Slayer mainstream.
Hell yeah.
More mainstream, right? I guess.
It's mainstream in the metal world, you bet.
Yes, because we mentioned we did our... This is actually episode 2 of season 3 for the podcast. But at the end of season 2, we did a big thrash metal podcast. And of course, we mentioned Slayer a bunch of times on that one. But now we're going to get into the album from 1990, Seasons in the Abyss. I don't know why I keep thinking it's Seasons of the Abyss, but it's in the Abyss. And since now I've already did, I guess I've done 2 Slayer podcasts already. We did Rain in Blood. Mm-hmm. Yes. And Show No Mercy. And so we're going to, I don't even know if I remember. I know I heard Metallica first and then I saw Slayer was going to be thrash metal too. So I checked out Slayer. So I had Show No Mercy as soon as it came out. When did you first hear Slayer?
So Seasons in the Abyss. The song Seasons in the Abyss is the first track I ever heard of Slayer. And again, I came into metal at that point. I was, you know, still in the new wave of British heavy metal type of stuff, Maiden, Priest. I remember seeing the video on MTV for Seasons in the Abyss. And I'm like, okay, that is a great track. And then you just go back through the discography and you start finding, you know, the stuff that you like in this whole sphere, you know, Big Four type stuff. But I was a big fan of Slayer, probably more than the others. You know, I went through my Anthrax phase, Metallica phase. Metallica phase, I was never really truly a huge Metallica fan. And Anthrax, you know, I enjoyed Anthrax early in their career. That was a lot of fun. Slayer was probably my favorite of the four.
Okay,
so Megadeth is in there too, right? So Big Four is what?
Megadeth,
yeah. Slayer, Megadeth, Metallica.
Megadeth and Anthrax. Yeah.
Like Megadeth too, by the way.
Because we discussed that on that pod. Because we also did our next four, which I don't remember even what I picked. But actually, I don't think I had Anthrax in my big four. I think I said I would rather have Exodus, I think it was, but I could be wrong. I can't, you know, you forget once you do these podcasts weekly or almost weekly.
I get it.
Previously. And yes, you have a golfing podcast. You can mention the name of your podcast.
My golfing podcast is Mulligans and Hackers. Me and my pal started a little while ago, and we're into our fourth year doing the pod now. Drop an episode every Monday. Usually have guests and sometimes just me and my buddy talking about our golf and where we're going in that sphere. And yeah, that's been a lot of fun. And golf has kind of been my passion for the last few years. So that's probably going to continue on, you know, in the retirement stages of my life, I guess.
So, yeah. So if you're a golf fan, maybe check out his podcast. He's everywhere, I believe, right? You're everywhere.
Yes, on every platform. We stream on Spotify, Apple. We have our YouTube channel. So check that out. Give us a like and a sub over there if you're into the golf thing.
Yeah. Okay. And so so Slayer.
Yeah. So this album, the song Seasons, was the song that first got me into Slayer. I love that riff. Then I picked up this album. This album was a really good album, I think, start to finish. And the year it came out in 1990. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, that makes sense. Then I kind of went into their discography, but this album was the album that really was, and it's still today, probably out of their entire discography, this is the album that I can sit down, play first to last, and enjoy pretty much every tune on this record.
Now they have 12, they have 12 studio albums, which doesn't sound like a lot when you consider how old they are or were. But anyway, so yeah, so Seasons in the Abyss is their fifth one. And of course, Rain and Blood was their biggest one, not by me, I guess, but by, I guess, the sales standards too, even though this one did pretty good too. This one made it to number 40 on the Billboard charts, which is kind of surprising, actually. And Rick Rubin produced this album, and he also produced Rain and Blood, and also the one before that, which is Hell Awaits, I believe, right? Yeah.
Right. And again, Rick Rubin produced. You can almost tell that Rick Rubin's touch is on this album, because right around this time, you know, Metallica, Megadeth albums are all, I mean, there's some connection with them when it comes to tone and song structure, if that makes sense.
Yes. See, no, I'm not a big fan of Rain and Blood, because I find, even though it's hailed by most people as one of the greatest thrash albums of all time, but it's just because we did the podcast on that, and it's so fast, and it's just like, you know, like, and it's only like 27 minutes long or something like that. So that's just one read. I like when they slow it down a little bit.
Yeah,
like,
I guess.
Or mix it up like they did on this album.
I would just say upper mid-tempo type songs, if that makes sense, right? Not just crazy over-the-top thrash, but, you know, like kind of a mid-tone, but at that neck, almost to the top of the mid-tempo type of music. Mm-hmm. And I think this entire album kind of gets into that high mid-tempo, right? I know Seasons is a little slower, and Disc and Mask is definitely like a more slower plotting type tune. But
mm-hmm. Well, it's kind of a mix. This is kind of a mix of Rain and Blood and South of Heaven put together in a way, because there's still the fast songs on it, like in Rain and Blood, but then there's some of the slower parts or slower ones that are more of the South of Heaven thing. See, I didn't really like Hell Awaits that much. I mean, I did when I first got it, but over time but I still like Show No Mercy is still my favorite Slayer album.
Outside of this album, Show No Mercy is mine. I used to, when I played guitar, I played a few tracks off of that Show No Mercy album, because I really like that album and the songs on that album.
And I would say South of Heaven is probably my second favorite, and then this would be my third favorite, I think, of the albums. But I never really listened to, I mean, I did hear, I think I have listened to every album, but I just never, like, we're going to do our top 10 Slayer songs at the end of this episode, and that's going to kind of say where my listening of Slayer goes to still. But it's like kind of that with most bands that we do podcasts. If we do top songs, I'm picking songs from their first four or five albums.
Yeah, I think I don't think I've really listened to anything after Divine Intervention, if that makes sense. I've probably seen a few of their videos from albums after that, but I think Divine Intervention was probably the last full album I listened to, probably religiously, if that makes sense, back in the day.
Yes. Well, I know I listened to God Hates Us All. I remember listening to that maybe more than some of the other ones.
I think that was probably the last album I bought of Slayer was God Hates Us All. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I gave it the genuine playthrough that I probably should have.
No.
Because I think I might have been, I might have been at the end of my rope with Slayer at that time.
Yeah.
Kind of like you get with, when you've been listening to music for almost 50 years, right? Yeah. You have all these bands. It's like, same thing, my favorite band, Judas Priest. I mean, I haven't listened to anything after Nostradamus. And I don't think I gave Nostradamus the attention it probably should have gotten. But it was kind of like, Jesus, I've heard all this before. Are we doing anything new or are we just regurgitating the stuff you did, 15 years ago, right?
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, you have your favorite albums that maybe you listen to when you're in your 20s or 30s or whatever, your teens even, depending on people's ages, of course. And, those are the classics. And yeah, you'll listen, you might buy a new album, listen to the new albums, whether it's Slayer or Maiden or Priest or whatever, but you're not going to give it the full listens. Like, it's hard for them to top what they've already done, right?
I agree. Like, I think on the last podcast, we talked about Iron Maiden. It's like, how does Iron Maiden do anything new? Like,
yeah.
Seriously, like, they have 1,000 albums out, and everything is, the horse trot type of guitar riff and bass riff. How do you do anything new? Like, how does anything seem fresh anymore?
Well, see, I'm
not bashing because, I don't like it, but this, isn't that just the way it is?
Yes, that's just, well, see, it's when you, like, if you're, like, if you were, if you had a son, say, that was 16, and you didn't convince him what music to listen to, and he grabs, World Painted Blood by Slayer as the first album he heard, then he might think, oh, this is a masterpiece or whatever, and then he might go back and listen to South of Heaven and say, oh, I don't like that, that's boring.
Right, yeah, but, again, we grew up through this era of music expansion, I guess, in the late 70s, 80s, 90s, early 2000s, of all this music coming out. And, I don't think kids get to experience that, what we did back then. I don't think they can experience that kind of the way it is now. Everything's kind of really, technically sound. Nobody just plugs in and plays anymore. It's all produced to hell, streamed to hell, engineered to hell.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I always like listening to bands that could do what they did on an album, go on stage and do it. Not necessarily like note for note, but again, you make the album, you go do your tour, and be able to give the audience on stage what you gave them on the album, right?
Yes. But that's just, like, see, like Metallica, like, of course, I listened to Metallica right at the start, Kill 'Em All or whatever. But then there's the people that the Black Album was the first Metallica album.
That was mine. The Black Album was literally my first one as well. And I absolutely thought that was dog shit. Coming from, even at that time, we'll say Judas Priest, Maiden, and, a big King Diamond fan, Merciful Fate fan. And then, listen to that Metallica Black Album, it's like, wow, that's kind of garbage. But then you circle back and it's like, okay, Ride the Lightning and, like those kind of, like, and Justice for All. Yeah, there's some good shit there in that previous discography, but I get that progression as well. Like how Metallica kind of grew and after Cliff died and all that type of stuff, their band evolution was pretty, pretty impressive as well as they grew as musicians and as bandmates.
Yes.
So I
there's the people, not like you then, but the people that hear the Black Album for their first album and they like it.
Yeah.
And then they're going to listen, they might listen to Load and Reload and like that too, because, if they didn't go back to listen to the older ones, people do.
Yeah, so yeah, the Black Album, Load and Reload, that's Metallica, right? It's like, well, not really.
Yeah, that's the thing. So with all these kinds of groups, they change, or it just depends when you first start listening to them. And me in my 50s, and I listened to all these bands when they started, so those are my favorite albums. It's just, that's just, it's
again,
hard.
I can concur, like, because again, the first song I heard from Slayer was Seasons. Well, that's like my favorite song, and it was my favorite album, right? And no different than Judas Priest, when I first heard Painkiller, I'm like, holy shit. Now, granted, I did hear some Judas Priest before that, but I didn't know it was Judas Priest at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Stupid to realize what I was listening to, but like that sticks with me. Merciful Fate, listening to Egypt for the first time off of In the Shadows, like, and that song got me, and that's my favorite. You know, those first interactions where you go, holy smokes, this is cool. That is your introduction to these bands, and that really sticks with you. And you can listen to their entire discography and other projects they do, but that one, that first time listening to it and it hooking you, you'll never get away from that being your favorite type of introduction to a band or an
album. Yeah, and it's hard. It's going to be hard for them to top it, right? Like,
yep.
I mean, yep. The Number of the Beast is the first Iron Maiden album I had, and then
mm-hmm.
I went back to the first two with Paul Di'Anno, and I still like those. And then, of course, the next two, but then they kind of changed a little, added in some synthesizers a little bit.
Yeah, I like that period of Maiden, like the Power Slave and Somewhere in Time. Like, mm-hmm. I really like that version of Iron Maiden as well, even though I really like the Di'Anno 2 albums.
Yes.
Again, they had the, you know, sing what you want. There was a little bit of a punk element there because Di'Anno was like that. And I get that. And then when, you know, Bruce came along and you know, started with Number of the Beast, but that Somewhere in Time, Power Slave type of era, you know, I really liked what they were doing there in mm-hmm. that era. You know, there's a lot of catchy tunes in there.
And yeah, and like I listened to all the other albums that have come out, but yep. I probably listened to once or twice, and there's good songs again. But again, if I have 40 minutes available, I'm putting on The Number of the Beast, or I'm putting on Peace of Mind.
That's
or
right.
Whatever.
That's right.
Because I know the songs already. Like, I don't know. It's just, but it's great.
Yeah, as we get older and new albums come out, I find it harder and harder to put an album on and do the due diligence like we did when we were in our 20s and go, okay, I listened to this album probably for, you know, 8 hours a day for 7 days a week. And yes, I know this album. I don't quite have that time or the inclination to do that anymore when a new album comes out, right?
Yes.
You give it one or two playthroughs, and it's like, okay, yeah, heard this before. This is definitely Judas Priest, or this is definitely Iron Maiden, and yep, you know,
yes,
I guess they're going on tour again, right?
Well, it's good that those bands are still around to do that, yeah, because once they're done, what's going to happen to metal?
Oh, yeah, I just saw, and I know we were talking about Slayer and Seasons here, but we're getting into all kinds of stuff, but King Diamond is coming to Calgary next Friday, I believe. I don't think I'm going to be able to make it, but I would really like, because he's a bucket list, you know, bucket list concert of mine. Mm-hmm. But, you know, like Judas Priest, I've seen Judas Priest a couple times, once here in the last couple of years, and that wasn't, you know, I don't want to harp on them, but, you know, they didn't put on a good show. And again, to me, it's like a Rob Halford cover band now, because, you know, he should just do Halford stuff, because I really like that period of when he was doing that as well, like just the mm-hmm. Halford stuff. Because, I mean, KK is not there, Glenn can't do it anymore, you know, Ian Hill, I guess, is still on bass, but, you know, Scott Travis is on drums. Granted, he's probably the longest tenured drummer they've ever had, but he wasn't the original, right?
Yeah.
You know, and the two guitar players they got now, good guitar players, but, I mean, they're not KK Downing and Glenn Tipton.
Yeah.
Right? So you're not getting KK Downing, I mean, really, KK's band is because he's playing guitar and you got Tim Ripper Owens singing. KK's Priest is almost more of a Judas Priest than Judas Priest is. I hate to say it like that, but the only thing Judas Priest has going for him is they got Halford singing. And you know, I still think KK should be backing Priest, but that, again, you get into that the politics of bands and all that bullshit. And
yeah, I don't.
That's kind of a sour taste as well. It's like, you know, Richie Faulkner could go play Glenn Tipton's parts on guitar, and KK could, because KK still can play. I mean, he's still doing live stuff, so he could do the KK parts. And you know, you give the fans that part of, you know, I mean, they're not going to be doing it forever, for 10 more years maybe. So you know, you got a few years to go, and you give the fans the last kick of seeing KK on stage with Priest. And I think if you appreciated your fans, you would do something like that and get the politics out of there. I know they did the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame get together with KK. And I thought something may have come of that after, but it never did. And you know, I think they should do a tour where they bring Tim Ripper Owens And so he could do some songs off of the two albums he did and get KK back in the band and do an actual, you know, discography, like Judas Priest history type of tour, right? And without that, I mean, they're just, you know, I don't know if they're just trying to still make money or what it is, but I mean, the last pre-show I saw was pretty sad.
Well, there's still people
there. I hate for them to go out like that. You know what I mean? I hate to see them go out like that. That's what they did. That's how they went out. It was kind of, you know, just wheeling old Rob out there to the front of the stage and nobody else, no other band members in the band from the beginning other than Ian Hill, right? And
that is. I didn't even listen to the last album at all, I don't think.
Yeah.
But other people have said it's
good.
I saw the
video for their single that they released, mm-hmm. and I'm like, you know, it's like they're not even trying. that's just my opinion. It's like, yeah, because there's going to be people out there that like Judas Priest and all these bands, and whatever they put out is going to be like, well, this is the greatest thing since the last album. And I get that, but I'm not there anymore.
Yeah.
You know, I'm... Show me something new, impress me, and, you know.
Yeah, that's hard to do these days.
And because it's all fucking done. And I mean, geez, you got AI doing writing albums for people now, right? You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
Write me a tune that talks about this and this chord structure. And you don't even have to know it any. You don't even have to know how to play instruments anymore.
Yes. Okay, well, let's get back to Slayer here, or we'll lose our Slayer fans who, as we're talking about Iron Maiden and Judas Priest.
Yeah, okay.
Even though they probably like them too. Okay, now for anyone who maybe doesn't know, I guess I'll say Slayer was born out of California in 1981, formed by guitarist Kerry King and Jeff Hanneman. I hope I'm saying his name right. And then Tom Araya on bass and vocals and Dave Lombardo on drums. And of course, we already mentioned the Big Four thing, which I have here. And this is Dave Lombardo's last album at the time. He did come back later again for another album, but I don't have all that information. I just know that he left after this. And of course, we lost Jeff Hanneman. I don't have the year, but he has passed away, of course. And I don't know if Slayer supposedly were on a farewell tour, but now I hear that they're going to play some more shows. So I guess they're being like Kiss. Anyway.
You know,
but anyway.
People want to see them. And if they're not involved, it would be like, yeah, well, we got to do it. And I mean, because I know Tom Araya said that he was done with it. And that's why Kerry King came out with his own band.
Yes.
He still wanted to play and continue. I mean, this is his life as well. Making music, playing live, and doing tours, right? So I know he came out with an album, and literally, like, almost when his album came out, they was like, okay, well, Slayer's going to go back on tour now. And it's like, okay, why'd you even stop them? Why don't you say, okay, we're going on hiatus for a bit. Maybe we'll do a tour. Maybe we won't, right? Just always have an option. Just not do the I hate the retirement tour, and then they tour after. It's like they're kicking the fans in the nuts. That's the way I look at it. It's like, we'll get money out of you down the road. Don't worry.
Well, see, that's like the thing. I don't want to bring Maiden back again, but they're going on a tour, like, I don't know, a big tour, and they're only playing songs from their first 9 albums, I think it is, so up to Fear of the Dark, so before Bruce left the band or whatever. So they're doing that tour, so that doesn't sound like that's their farewell tour, because they're not saying it's their farewell tour or anything, but maybe they don't want to say that. Maybe they're just going to.
I don't know. I don't want to get off it again, but Wasp is doing a tour right now, and they were just in Calgary, and I've seen Wasp live, and they're doing the first album, start to finish.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's great, and I like that idea, but it's like, Jesus, aren't you guys long in the tooth again? Now, still? I mean, Blackie Lawless, what is he, 70?
Well, I know. They haven't made anything worthwhile to listen to in, what, 30 years? And then people are
not to be overly critical, but yeah, I'm pretty sure you're right there.
But I'd have no interest in seeing Wasp. Like, I just don't, I really like, I mean, I liked Wasp back then, 2 albums.
I liked Wasp back then.
Whatever. But, yeah, I wouldn't pay money to go see them live or anything. Because
I did back, probably about 10 years ago now. I can't remember what album it was they were touring for, but saw them at a little bar in Calgary because I really wanted to see them. And they put on a good show, I'll give you that.
Well, I know that's a lot of people. They didn't get to see them back in the 80s there, so no. I guess that's a thing. But I wouldn't care myself about going to see.
Well, let's just say I didn't I wasn't rushing to the box office to get a ticket for this tour. So,
but anyway, okay.
Even though I like that first album, but
yes, I like the first two. I think, the first two at least. I like those. I know other people like some of the other ones too.
I like a lot of their early discography. We were right up to like Heather's Children. Then they came out with that KFD album. I didn't mind that one.
Well, yeah, I'm sure the tour is we need to make some money, so let's go on tour and play our songs that people like.
This is how they generate their revenue, right? I mean, merchandise sales and, you know, royalties aren't what they used to be. I'm sure
Kiss is going to come back and redo their logo.
No, it's not even going to be Kiss on stage. It's going to be four dudes dressed up like them playing it. I mean, they're a business more than they are a band, right?
And I know. So, I'm not a Kiss fan, really. I mean, I like some of the songs, but I was never a Kiss fan.
If you understand what Kiss is more of an entertainment type of band than it is type of, you know, putting out quality music and
they put on good shows, right? Like that's
they're about the show. Like what they're for. They'll just do four dudes up in makeup that kind of look like the guys, put them out on stage, and I don't even know if they'll sing or lip sync, but I mean, they're giving the fans what they want. It's an entertainment show, right?
That's true. Forget that. Okay, let's get to this album. I guess we already talked. Rick Rubin produced it. Let's just get to this.
I think Andy Wallace had a hand in producing that one as well.
I don't have that there. Yes, probably. Sorry. Yeah. Okay, so I'll let you start on every song, I guess, and then I'll cover anything maybe if you don't say something about it.
Oh, the album starts with War Ensemble, which was a really good up-paced tempo too. I thought that was a really good song to start the album with. That's a good tune. Really up tempo. Good structure. Liked it.
And this song, now, if I'm correct here with my lyric interpretations, this is about the horror of war, of course, War Ensemble. And this is one of the fast ones, I guess. There's a bunch of fast ones on there. It's just we do have some slower parts, like we kind of already mentioned. This song became a live staple and I don't know, we'll talk about if we saw them live after we're done the album here, but yes, it's a highly, this is the album they played the most live, like the most songs from live of any of their albums, even more than Rain in Blood, which is kind of surprising actually.
Then we come into Blood Red, the short and sweet 2:47 second type of up-tempo tune. Not that I can say much about the song itself, but another short, sweet Slayer song, if that makes sense.
Yeah, Slayer is definitely known for their short songs. Now, this is a little slower than what usually they would do for a short song. Like we talked about Rain in Blood album, which is a bunch of just go fast as you can for the whole 2 minutes, and then that's it, song's over. But at least it's a little slower, a little chugging riff, more mid-tempo than like the first track. And I guess we're talking about, he has lines like honest crusades, tyrants invades, religious belief easily deceived, as this is their focusing on, you know, political oppression. And like, you know, the earlier albums were all about, you know, Satan mostly, but then they got into wars and politics and stuff like that. Then we go into Spirit in Black.
What do you think? I had to go back and listen to this tune because it didn't jump out at me in my old memory of what the song sounded like. So I gave it a quick listen last night, and it's a good tune. Again, for this album, tone structure fits right into the entire, I guess, ambiance of the album. Again, this one's an up-paced one as well, too, right?
Yes, and it's like it has some kind of galloping riffs that might be from Maiden, but a little more fast galloping. And like the solos on this album, the song and this album, again, like, I mean, I love the bands with solos because now we get a lot of bands that don't do solos. But yeah, some great solos on here, of course, by Hanneman and Kerry King. And like,
again,
the solos are always fast as they can go, I think. I don't know if they ever do any slow solos.
Again, kind of like the dual guitar thing, Hanneman and Kerry. Kerry King complement each other so well when they're like soloing off of each other and playing off each other.
And of course, Lombardo's drumming on most of these songs is just, again, you know, he's one of the best drummers in metal, I think, or was. Well, I guess he still is, really. He's still playing, I believe. And like, yeah, and there's a little breakdown in the middle of the song that just kind of add a little bit of a dimension to the song before they go fast again. Then we get a song. I guess this next song is about gang violence, is what I got down here anyway. And this is Expendable Youth. What do you think of this one?
This is a good tune. Definitely an A-side type of tune. Again, another one of those songs I had to go back and give a quick listen to kind of pick up something on it. But it's a good tune. Fits in with the album. And again, I'm not into the lyrics part of what these bands do. But again, it's a tune that when you're playing the album and it comes on, it definitely fits into the whole structure of the album. Does that make sense?
Yes. I find this is a song, it's a little more groove oriented, I guess, if you want to call it that. But it's definitely
That opening riff is pretty stellar.
Yes. And yeah, and that song, again, I don't really care much about lyrics either, but I do try to add stuff in for the podcast to talk about some other stuff. But yeah, the song's about gang violence, and of course they're from California, and that's nothing. And Uriah's voice is kind of more sorrowful, I guess, tone on this song, which kind of emphasizes the tragedy that they have in some of the lyrics about being gunned down and the streets of California, I guess, they're talking about here. Okay, then we go to, let's see, I guess it's one of the eeriest tracks the Slayer's ever recorded. I'm not sure, maybe up till that point. Yep. I guess they have a lot of eerie tracks. But anyway, Dead Skin Mask. And so what do you think of this one?
Well, this is going to come up later on when we do our top 10 for Slayer, because this song definitely was a stretch. Something outside of the norm, I guess, for Slayer. Lyric-wise, you can really pick up on what this song is about, lyric-wise. But the tempo on it and, you know, the dueling guitar riffs there, the harmonics going on in this song, it's one of the gems in the Slayer entire discography, in my mind, when it comes to guitar playing, lyric-wise, and how the song, what the song means. It's a fantastic tune, one of my favorite Slayer tunes that we'll come up with later on.
It's it opens with like a haunting, almost hypnotic guitar line before exploding into the song, and the whispered spoken word voices at the start is kind of like a disturbing thing, and the lyrics are inspired by a famous killer and grave robber, I guess, Ed Gein, or I'm not sure if that's Ed Gein. Okay, and I guess they even meant there's a voice at the end of the song that's in the background that even says his name a few times in the lyrics there. And I'm not sure I didn't really read up on who's doing that voice or whatever, but that does make it kind of a chilling song. I don't know if I could call anything chilling, but it would have been chilling. It's probably chilling for parents that didn't want the kids to hear it. But anyway.
It's a different tune for Slayer, that's for sure.
Yes. Okay, and then we get to Hallowed Point.
That's a driving song. Definitely a cool opening riff. Again, balls to the wall, blast beat type of tune. get through it, get done type of tune. again, 3 minutes to 23 seconds of just go. Just typical Slayer tune.
Yes, it's another fast one. And like the Lombardo's going crazy again, of course. And yes, that's just a quick one.
I mean, and that one, we even just say it here, and I want to start headbanging to this tune. Just that opening riff, you just want to get going. It's one of those catchy type of blast beat riffs that kind of get you going. This whole album was kind of that. Me and my pals back in the day when we would listen to this album, it would just be headbanging kind of from start to finish, no matter what we were doing, whether we were, you know, in the street playing hockey or in a dressing room somewhere. it was just like, yeah, this is a headbanging album and a headbanging tune here for sure.
And then we go to number seven, which is Skeletons of Society. What do you think of this one?
This was a good tune, not quite as up-tempo as the rest of them on this album, maybe in outside of Dead Skin Mask, but again, a good plotting tune. And this is one of my favorites on this album as well, outside of maybe, you know, Seasons and Dead Skin Mask. I really like this too.
It has, yeah, it's kind of has a, I don't know, a doom inspired feel at the start there with the main riff.
Yeah.
And
plods a little bit like to get going.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that Tommy Araya's voice in this one as well.
Yes, and the chorus is like catchy, like for a Slayer song.
For a Slayer song, yep.
Like, because, you know, there's no ballads, I don't think, on any Slayer albums.
I don't think Dead Skin Mask is the closest you're going to get to a ballad. That's not really a ballad. That's kind of a more of a horror song, so.
But it gets kind of one of the memorable tracks because of the catchy chorus kind of thing.
Yeah.
And, maybe.
Yeah. Lyric-wise on that song, too, it's kind of catchy.
Yeah, and what's this song that's about the collapse of civilization, which I guess could still be going on today.
Oh, yes. The downward spiral of society is definitely happening, for sure.
Then we go to kind of a different track, I think, here with Temptation. What do you think of this one?
Actually, to be honest with you, I'd have to give this one another listen. It's not a song that I was really... jumped up in my memory that that inspired a lot of I guess I can't really remember the tune, if that makes sense. So we probably skipped by this one a few times in our playthrough, but again, it's that opening riff, that solid smashing opening riff, and Dave Lombardo coming in on drums. This is one of those Slayer songs, you know, it's not up mid tempo. It is actually up tempo, right? It's a fast tune that gets going real quick.
Mm-hmm. I can't. Now I lost. There's something about this song, but now I can't find it. Where did it go? Oh yeah, track it. Okay, it's so it has an overdub of Tom Araya's singing at the start there. But it says that it was unintentional, actually. It says Araya sang the song twice, once the way he felt it sounded the best. The second time, Kerry King insisted he sing it differently, I guess. And so it says by accidents, both tracks were played back at the same time, so they left it in. And that's how that came about, or whatever.
Well,
that's true. Anyway, whoops.
They're both either really happy with how it came out or both really pissed on how it came out.
But yeah, it was a little kind of different just with that singing thing, because they usually don't even play with anything like that. Okay, then we get to Born of Fire. What do you think of this one?
Well, that one could have probably almost been the second part of the previous song, in my opinion, because they both start the same way, blasting out of there, and just to me, I guess this would be my filler tune on the album if they had a filler tune.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been it. It's like just do a fast song, give it a title, throw some lyrics on it, and get it on there.
Well, this one could have been on Raining Blood, I think, that song.
Yeah, right? That makes sense now that you say it like that.
So, yeah, it was because I refreshed my memory too today, listening to this a couple times quickly just to refresh my memory on the song. But yeah, there's a couple songs, but especially that one, that could have been on Raining Blood, yes, because it's just, you know, fast and, you know, not much whatever. But then I guess it's kind of leading up to the last track, which isn't just fast as hell. And so we get to the title track, Seasons in the Abyss. So
and now-
what do you think?
For me,
like this song, so
this is it for me. But the fact that it's the last song on the album is kind of a bummer for me, because I really like this tune and I wanted it to be an A-side type song, not the last tune on the album. But I mean, the dueling guitars on this, the intro, the riff, the soloing on this album, because Henneman and King take their turns with solos. This is a mid-paced type of tune. All the structure of this, I mean, I play this song on guitar. I still play this song on guitar. It is a great riff, great tune. I don't know if you call it a Slayer tune, but I think this one might have had a lot of Rick Rubin influence on it. Say, hey, if you're going to do a release a single and you're going to want the video play, this is the type of tempo we're going to have. And I think they nailed it with this song.
And this is actually is the first video they ever made, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
Actually, I think you're right.
Because I think I read that as I was researching here. I just didn't make a note of it. But yeah, it's the first video they made, and yeah, it's more of a like it's not just speed metal song, of course. And it's also 6.5 minutes long here, like
Which is another, you know,
which is probably one of the
deviation from
longest
what Slayer
songs
does.
Slayer's ever made.
Yep.
But
Again,
even
video-wise, it doesn't seem like it's a 6-minute song when you're watching the video or you're playing the track on a guitar. It doesn't seem like it.
no, because I was actually surprised when I thought, oh, wait, that is 6.5 minutes. Yeah, like I mean, I know it's you think 5 minutes anyway,
But I
but
think
yeah,
this track,
even.
for Slayer is what I personally, and this is just me personally, I think this is the best track they ever wrote. And yeah, it's the first one I heard, blah, blah, blah. Go down that route. But structure-wise, performance-wise, and you know, the musicianship in this track shows what Slayer can do. And I know what they're all about, thrash, but this was a really good heavy metal song, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's kind of, it's maybe in a way, it's their most metal song where they're not being like
Nothing
punkish
about the
kind of.
track, Blake, is obtrusive, if that makes sense. Like, Tommy Araya's vocals is not, you know, it's they're not out of this world. They're really solid. The guitar playing is not, they're not trying to do too much too soon. You know, the Dave Lombardo has a really good drum fill and drum pace in this song. It all just works to, in my opinion, it works as a Slayer song. And that's why it's probably my favorite Slayer tune.
And there's a, probably a lot of people, Slayer fans, that probably think this song was a sellout.
The two commercial. This you
Yeah.
know, what the hell are you talking about? Okay, so let's go back and you know, me being a big Judas Priest fan back in the day, you got another thing coming. That same
Yeah.
favorite thing. I fucking hate that tune because that's the tune I hear on the radio, and I'm like, they have
Yes.
so much more better stuff than that. I get if Slayer fans think that way. It's like this is the commercial part of Slayer. Don't worry, guys. This commercial part of Slayer is still really freaking good. Unlike some other bands who had commercial success, their commercial shit stuff sucks. Slayer, if this is Slayer's commercial song, they actually hit it on the nail on the head with this commercial song.
Yes, but I'm sure there is people saying, oh, whatever. What are they doing? Enter Sandman now? Not that it sounds like Enter
Yeah,
Sandman, but
you
just
bet.
saying
And
that.
I get that the Slayer thrash fans, they're like, what the fuck is this? I get it. I get it.
Yeah. And even you mentioned the video earlier, and like the, I guess it's an Egyptian theme, right? Isn't it? The video?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, okay, right. So even when I listen, I haven't seen the video in years. I don't think I've watched the video in years, but even when I hear the song, it just feels like Egyptian when I'm listening to it. But I don't know if that's just because I used to probably did watch the video a lot back
Sure.
then. It just I
Yeah,
didn't
well, yeah,
watch
we
much.
watched a lot of these. We watched a lot of Seasons in the Abyss videos back in the day. You bet when it
Yeah.
came out.
Okay, so that's the
But
album. Now we have to rate it out of 10, and I have a feeling I know probably what you're going to give it
This
or
is going to
close to
be
it.
probably. I'm not going to give it a 10. I'll give it a 9 out of 10 because there was, you know, there was one tune on there that I wasn't, you know, kind of. To me, it felt like a filler tune, but it's a 9 out of 10, definitely.
And I think I would give it, I'll give it an 8.5 out of 10. How about that, I guess.
What? Really? Like you don't want to go 9 and you don't want to give it an 8, you're going to throw a half in there. Come on, Blake.
Well, on my website, we rate albums and I say we can give it half ranked.
Oh,
So that's kind of
that's
what I'm going
almost
by.
thoroughly disappointing,
So if I was writing it, it'd be 8.5.
but
I don't know. And I'm just kind of, see, because this is your favorite Slayer album. So I'm kind of comparing it that Show No Mercy and South of Heaven are
Okay,
the
fair
two
enough.
albums I like
Fair
more.
enough.
So
I mean, you don't have to explain it to me. This is your show. You can do whatever the hell you want, but come
I
on,
know.
half a mark? Really?
Okay, so have you seen Slayer live before?
I have not.
Okay.
And that's, again, I have a few bucket list bands that I'd like to see, and I think I could do without seeing Slayer and still, being okay with it. That's just the way I look at it. And again, we're out here in Western Canada. I'm probably not going to travel to see them, if that makes sense. I'm not jumping on the plane to go see them anywhere. So,
I don't suppose they're coming to Alberta, unfortunately, if they
no
do
problem.
tour, and I don't even know if they're coming to Toronto or not
Their
either.
next farewell tour and farewell tour after that, and the whole Motley Crue thing,
Now, I think.
I don't want to talk about Motley Crue either, by the way. Listen to the last podcast and you'll get my rant on Motley Crue.
I think I've seen Slayer. Okay, I saw the farewell tour in
The
London, Ontario. So a
supposed
little
farewell
smaller
tour.
place than Toronto, but it was still at the Hawk Arena here in London, Ontario there with I think it was like five bands, and I'm like Anthrax was there and Testament, Lamb of God, and another group I don't remember. But anyways, but so I saw that one, and then I can't remember the year, but I saw them with Pantera. Let's see, Pantera, Static X, Morbid Angel, and somebody
Nice.
called Scrape, I think they were called. But that was good to see them with Pantera. That was kind of a monumental show to see
No doubt.
two of the greatest bands on the same bill, that one. But I think those are the only two times I've seen them. And Slayer, like, they don't do anything special in concert except play their songs. Like, they don't do much. Like, there's no long bit.
And truly, that's what you're going there to see if you're going
Yeah,
to
I
see Slayer.
know, but like, there's no,
You're not going there to see a Kiss concert. You're
yeah,
going
you're
there to
not
see
getting
Slayer
great. I
play.
mean, there's light shows and stuff, but they're not, they're there to play the songs, and he's not there to talk very much either. Okay, so we're going to do our top 10 Slayer songs. Now, I put mine in order, so you
I
did
did
this,
not put mine in order because,
even though I figure Seasons in the Abyss would be your number one, right? You're kind of saying that.
Definitely, 100%. But so, are we going to go
I'll
off
let
of
you go.
record?
I'll let you do your 10 first, and then I'll do my
Okay.
10.
So, in no particular order here, I'll probably leave the song I like the best for number one. But I like Diddlehead off of Divine Intervention. I like that tune. To me, that's Slayer with its punk infusion type of tune. I really like that tune. I saw that video when that album came out. I was like, fuck, that is a great tune. So that's one. Dead Skin Mask is another one. That's one of my favorite Slayer tunes off of Seasons. It's just a great tune. It's a different Slayer tune. Dissident Aggressor off of South of Heaven. That's a Judas Priest cover, and I really liked how Tommy Reyes sang that song. So I listened to that track, quite a few times. Then we have Raining Blood, great tune, one of my favorites. Like that intro. We'll get into that a little bit in a sec here. Hell Awaits off Hell Awaits is a great tune. I thought that track was a great opening track. Black Magic off Show No Mercy. That one I played on guitar because I really like that opening riff. And Evil Has No Boundaries off of Show No Mercy, great tune, like that one. Now for the last two tunes, there was a live video that came out probably around the Seasons era, and it had Rain and Blood, Black Magic was the video. I don't think they did this on any live album, but Rain and Blood leading into Black Magic, because it's an opening riff that finishes Rain of Blood and starts with Black Magic. That structure of Rain and Blood and Black Magic is, other than the song we'll talk about, is my favorite arrangement of Slayer tunes that I ever, because when I played guitar, when I played Rain and Blood, Black Magic, that's how I play them. Was you play right, start with Rain and Blood, you finish the song with the open E, and you just go right into the open E Black Magic. And I'm like, that is excellent arrangement. And there's a live video for it as well, where they do Rain of Blood, Black Magic. And I was like, well, that's it. It doesn't get any fucking better than that. That is like two great tunes back to back, and you just play them. And again, when you're done playing those tunes back to back on guitar, you definitely have a sweat buildup. That's for sure. Because you can't play these tunes without banging your head and getting all crazy and getting out of yourself, because they're just great tracks. And then number one is obviously Seasons in the Abyss, which is, to me, that's the Slayer song when it comes to, and because it's the song that got me into Slayer, that's why I put it that high, but there it is. I know Rain of Blood, Black Magic are in there twice each, but you have to understand that by themselves they're good. Together they're next level epic.
Yeah, I was trying to look on their last live album if they did that. No, they didn't do that. Okay.
There's a video. You can go on YouTube and that's
yeah. Yeah, I think I remember seeing it. Yeah, and I was just trying to see if they did that on.
I don't care. When Rain of Blood starts and that drum intro kicks in, if you know anything about Slayer, you're ready. You're getting yourself prepped to go. And yeah, I just, those two tracks together are like, that's what metal music is. And if you play guitar or you play an instrument and you play that back to back, yeah, you definitely know what that feels like. That's monumental energy. Monumental energy.
Okay, so I'll do my top. Now, I did put mine in order, like I think I already mentioned. So I'm going to start at the bottom. So number 10, I got Angel of Death from Raining Blood.
Yep.
And it's funny because when I did the podcast on Raining Blood with two other people, and they really liked the album, and I was saying how I didn't, I already mentioned this. So it was only Angel of Death and Raining Blood that I kind of thought were too good, where it wasn't just, even though Raining Blood, they're both fast, but they just didn't seem as fast as the other. They seemed like there was a little bit of whatever in it. But anyway, so Angel of Death is my number 10. And my number 9 is from South of Heaven, and that's Mandatory Suicide. And my number 8 is Raining Blood. So they're in there. My number 7, I got Dissonant Aggressor. I guess I forgot that it was a Judas Priest cover.
Yeah, right.
But anyway, that's off South of Heaven. Let's see. My number 6 is The Antichrist from Show No Mercy.
Yep.
My number 5 is Behind the Crooked Cross from South of Heaven. My number 4 is Black Magic, which you mentioned, off of Show No Mercy, of course. My number 3 is Seasons in the Abyss, off the one we talked about, that one. My number 2 is going back to Show No Mercy again with Die by the Sword. And my number 1 is also from South of Heaven, and that is South of Heaven. That's my number 1 Slayer song. Now, I just kind of made that up, like, today. Like, I was getting a list of all my songs, saying, okay, what order am I going to put them in? Because I like to put them in order. But of course, I really like Black Magic, whatever, Die by the Sword. I like the old ones. And I don't have any from Hell Awaits, even though I do like the song Hell Awaits. And there's a few songs on that album I like. They just
Do you have any content. Do you have any of your favorite tracks after Seasons?
Pardon? Sorry.
Are any of your top 10 there off of any album after Seasons in the Abyss? Or is
No.
it all Seasons in the Abyss?
It's all the first 5 out, or it's okay. It's the first, what, Hell Awaits is the second album, right?
Yeah.
So I got the first album, the third album, fourth album, fifth album. Right? Yes. Seasons was fifth. Is that the, or, yeah. Right, yes.
They did a live album after that, and then it was Divine Intervention after that.
Yes. And again, I did like Ditto Head. I remember when you said that name, I remembered that song, and I didn't go back, of course, and listen to all the new Slayer albums to make my top 10, because there could be a song in there that I just, like we talked about earlier, didn't give it as much of a chance as I should.
How much time are we going to put into listening to the new album? You know what I mean?
I mean, I like God Hates Us All song also, and
that's the only song off of that album that I've really listened to.
Yeah, probably that might be the same way for me, but I listen.
No offense to the Slayer fans out there, but this is just where we are in our lives.
Well, that's what we want. We want Slayer fans to give us your top 10 list. So wherever you listen, if you listen to this on YouTube, just put down your top 10 Slayer songs.
Slayer listeners out there, if you're checking out this pod and you're going, these two douchebags don't know what they're talking about. Anything after that, if you've got albums or songs that you say, check this out because This is post Seasons in the Abyss good Slayer.
Yeah.
Let us know, and we will check it out, and we'll drop it. We'll drop something somewhere to say, okay, we listened to it. Yeah, okay, you're right. Or, no, you're wrong. We'll do that too.
So we want feedback. So, yes, leave your list somewhere, Facebook, Instagram. Send an email to me with your list. Just if you want to be on a podcast, you want to do a Repentless podcast episode, we'll do it if you're sure that you have enough to say about it, because I won't have a lot to say about it unless I re-listen to it to make sure.
But, yeah, you'll give it a couple of listens to be moderately prepared, right?
Yes, yeah.
And hopefully
And hopefully
not terribly disappointed in wasting your time listening to the album.
I know a lot of people... Like, if we would have did the albums and if we didn't have Raining Blood first, I'm sure we'd get a lot of complaints there. So we did songs that we
know. You guys even know metal music? That would be probably the response.
Okay, so that's it. Anything to add about Slayer or anything here?
No, I mean, again, when I was getting into music and expanding my horizons in music, Slayer was a great band to jump onto it and go back through their discography and listen to and go, yeah, this is some pretty cool stuff. Especially when you're getting into that, you know, the Megadeth, Anthrax, Metallica, you know, type of big four. They definitely had their own element in that big four. And yeah, just a kid now going back and discovering something like that, yeah, that would be pretty cool to experience that for the first time again. Listening to, you know, a whole Slayer album from back then.
Yeah, I was just looking through my vinyls quickly. I guess I must have stopped buying vinyls before 1990 because I don't have Seasons on vinyl, but I have the other ones. I even have Haunting the Chapel EP or thing that they made. But some people will notice on the back of Show No Mercy, the first album, they have makeup under their eyes.
Yeah.
Not as much as Kiss, but then I can't remember. Somebody said, stop doing that. That looks stupid. So they didn't do it anymore.
Again, wasn't Pantera a glam band to start?
Yes, they were. But I don't know what that makeup was for. It was just some black stuff under their eyes. So I don't know if it was supposed to look evil. But somebody, yeah. I can't remember who it was, but I remember reading where somebody said.
We only need King Diamond putting face paint on now. We don't need any of the core four doing makeup.
Yeah. Okay, so there we go. Let us hear your top 10 Slayer songs. Thanks, Elv, for joining me on this podcast.
Yes, sir, my friend. It was a lot of fun. And a good album to talk about. I love that album. So.
Yes, great album. Okay. Thanks,
everybody.
Thank you, and I'll have you again. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Goodbye.
Take care.